Okay, brethren, I'll introduce Brother Peter Kirkman, and he's going to give our theme discourse, Walk as Children of Light, and you might add, the seven steps of Ephesians.
Well, good afternoon. I trust you enjoyed your lunch and so forth. Bring the love of our ecclesia, North Seattle Bible students, to the convention. And I guess the mic's on now. The many there remember, many here fondly, and we actually have six members of our ecclesia here with you. Get to know you. I'd like to kind of modify the topic a little bit from what was announced. It's the seven walks of Ephesians. Seven walks of Ephesians. And, of course, this is the assigned theme discourse. And it's based on a text from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, which reads, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And we had a wonderful lesson about humility, a lot of self-examination. And for this hour, we'll be considering seven walks that are mentioned in Ephesians. Each one of these requires some self-examination. And there's a wonderful reference for this discourse, and it's from reprint 4188. Reprint 4188, and it is titled, Walk as Children of Light. Anytime I quote in this discourse, it'll be from reprint 4188. How goes the battle, dear friends? At the end of the year, we are to take an account of the past year. Have we fought hard? What can we do better in the year to come? As we consider the seven walks of Ephesians, let us examine our walk or conduct in our consecrated lives. These walks are a call to battle. Brethren, it is important for us to conduct our lives in a way that is pleasing to the Heavenly Father, as expressed in Psalm chapter 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. It is by our heart's desire to please God that we develop an extreme carefulness in how we walk in our lives. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20. The book of Ephesians mentions seven ways in which we should walk that we will consider in the following order. Number one, we are to walk not according to the course of this world. Number two, we are to walk in good works. Number three, we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. Number four, we are to walk not as other Gentiles. Number five, we are to walk in love. Number six, we are to walk circumspectly. And finally, our theme, number seven, we are to walk as children of light. We will spend most of the time considering the walking as children of light, as it really encompasses the first six walks. But I would like to touch on all of the first six mentioned in Ephesians. So we'll go right into it, and we'll go quickly. Number one, we walk not according to the course of the world. This walk is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The new creature should walk not according to the course of this world. This is the walk of the world, the walk of the evildoers, the walk of the children of wrath. It is the very opposite of the walk of the children of light. So we must not love the course of the world, but the course that Jehovah has laid out for us. This course can ultimately allow us to help convert the world from their wrong course to one that is marvelous. We read from chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And this is what we want to look to. This contrarian conduct in life will not bring friendship with the world. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. By grace, we are fortunate to have been delivered ahead of the world. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. For our walk to be successful, we must keep the world out. To receive the continued blessings of our Father, we must battle the world to the death. The reward is great if we do so successfully. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, we'll move along to number 2, walk in good works. This comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. To repeat, the new creation should walk in good works, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What a marvelous statement. Psalm chapter 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Well, we must study God's word to know what are good works and develop our characters to look for opportunities to do good. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we're all familiar with these. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Also, we find in Titus chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 14, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Not only must we find what is the good works and what are the good works by looking into the scriptures, we must keep it up. We must keep up these good works by showing stamina and well-doing. This comes from Titus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We must encourage each other by recognizing and encouraging the good works of others. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Yes, important to encourage each other in this walk. Not easy. It's a hard battle. Walking in good works goes hand in hand with walking in the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, the glory is not for us. It's for someone else. I'd like to consider just for a moment a lesson on how to walk in good works that is especially for women. This is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Example of the proper order was considered in the previous hour. Respect. Well, we'll move along. Number 3, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Well, there's the humble lesson, isn't it? With longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. The new creation should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. And what a vocation it is. Their vocation is the very highest of all. They are the representatives of the Lord and Master. They bear His name and should seek in everything to glorify it and never to dishonor it. What we do, what we say, what we think, in fact, even general appearance and deportment, and where we are seen, all reflect more or less upon the great King, whose ambassadors we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. A comparison here is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Yes, we have professed a good profession. Now, we are all to be examples of the believers. Elders have an additional responsibility of watching over the ecclesia. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Yes. Let us look at the examples of the apostles. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Our vocation is that of servants of God, and no earthly avocation should be permitted in any degree to hinder or abridge the influence or the service we have undertaken as children of God, as joint heirs of Christ, our Lord, and as prospective members of the bride class, His kingdom class. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Number 4, walk not as other Gentiles walk. We would like to read quite a bit of this from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes, the new creation are to walk not as other Gentiles walk. We are not merely to refrain from the sins and gross immoralities of the natural man, but we are to allow this principle or spirit we have been given to pervade all of life's interests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Again, an example. We are also to control ourselves to sanctification and honor, and not be like the Gentiles, which do not know God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Concupiscence means a strong desire, especially a sexual desire or lust. We are not to lust after the things of the world. We are to refrain from following foolish worldly fashions, from being influenced by a worldly spirit. We are to have the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of a sound mind, to direct us in our joys, in our sorrows, and in our celebrations. In fact, whatsoever we do, we are to do to the glory of God, and are not to be influenced by the spirit of the world. But rather we are to set an example for the world in all manners, in gentleness, in kindness, in patience, in faithfulness to the Lord, and to duty. Our speech also should be an example of the believers. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. It's a hard thing to accomplish. The walk of the world is on the broad road. The walk of the church is on the narrow path. As we progress in Christian experience, we find this path getting farther and farther away from the broad road which the world is traveling. And whoever tries to keep pace with the world will in many respects be apt to find himself leaving the narrow path or otherwise disadvantaging himself as a new creature. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Part of it's right over there. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Number 5, walk in love. Now, love's a big topic, so we're going to not really cover it very well. But we'll consider some items of it. And, of course, this comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor. Yes, what did he go through for us? The new creation is to walk in love. Their words, their deeds, everything which with they are connected, is to be governed by this law of the new creation, love. Now I'll give you part of a definition for love. Love is doing what God commands us to do. Love is doing what God commands us to do. John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that hath my commandments. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Of course, we know John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Wow, that is a hard thing. That ye also love one another as well. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. In compliance with this law of love and our Lord's glorious example, the apostle says, we ought to so love one another as to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. We should be ready to lay down a few months, a few years. We should be ready at any time we can find opportunity of service for a brother, especially along the lines of spiritual or higher interests as a new creature. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I quote from the reprint. The spirit of love is to control our conduct with all. We are to love our neighbors and seek to do them good, to serve their interests. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. This love would not take advantage of his neighbor to cheat him, to injure him in any manner. Love would not prompt its possessor to speak evil of his neighbor, but would lead to remembrance of the scriptural injunction, speak evil of no man. Love would do this from principle, because it is right. But more than this, love ultimately takes such an interest that the brother exercising it does not wish to do anything that would be harmful to another's interests, to his welfare, but rather to do anything, but rather to do something to his honor and blessing. Love, progressing as we walk in it, ultimately brings us to that blessed condition where we can love our enemies and be glad of the privilege of doing good to those that despitefully use and persecute us. Unquote. Such a high standard. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Yes, of course, we do this by hating the sin, but not the sinner. Well, we need to move along to number 6. Walk circumspectly. This comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'd like to read a powerful quote from the reprint on this. The new creation should walk circumspectly. This word circumspectly signifies to look carefully all around at every step. The Christian cannot be a careless liver. And as he looks around him and realizes the various pitfalls and snares, not only will he seek to make straight paths for his feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but additionally, he will seek divine aid and counsel and guidance that he make no mistakes, that every step in life's pathway will be such as will have divine approval and glorify God in his body and spirit, which are God's. This circumspection of our walk as new creatures is the more necessary because our adversary, the devil, is specially on the alert to ensnare us. And our tests are permitted to be the severer as we come nearer the goal of character. We should walk circumspectly also because we profess to be of the new creation, begotten of the Holy Spirit and not of the world, but separate from it. And because our light so shining more or less reproved the world, therefore the world, instead of sympathizing with us, hate us, and watch either to see what fault can be found with their walk, and to stumble and trip us, sometimes from malicious impulse, and sometimes from sympathetic reasons, as the Apostle Peter, when speaking to our Lord, said, far be it from thee, Lord, to thus sacrifice thyself and die. They just don't understand our walk. To walk circumspectly is to take note of the various hindrances and stumbling stones and pitfalls, to hearken to the instructions of the Lord's word and to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, and thus to walk carefully, and in so doing to develop our characters which are most pleasing to our Lord and head. The Apostle says, this circumspection is necessary in order to our walking, not as unwise, but as wise. There is a wisdom of the world which is foolishness with God, and there is a wisdom with God which is foolishness to the world. The wisdom of God is to be ours, and we are to exemplify it in all the affairs of life. Hence, the faithful, the new creatures in Christ, should be the most exemplary, the most wonderful people in the whole world, the wisest in the management of their affairs, the wisest in the government of their children, the wisest in their eating, drinking, and dressing. Not that the world will always approve, but that the end will justify the course which the Lord's word directs and which the wise of the new creation, walking circumspectly, will take. I don't know about you. That's the end of the quote there. But I have a lot to work on that quote. But we must keep striving to walk to the best of our abilities, to use our talents and so forth, as guided and blessed by our advocate. Well, now we really get to the convention theme. Number 7, walk as children of light. I think we're up there, but we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye, therefore, partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye in the Lord, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Quote, the opening words of our lesson, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, should not be understood to signify that God's wrath comes because of vain words. The things which bring the wrath are mentioned in the preceding verses, 3 to 5, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, ribaldry. For as the apostle explains, those in whom these characteristics are dominant, or those in whom these characteristics are sympathized with, can have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words on this subject, telling you that such things are natural, proper, excusable. They have indeed become second nature to many of the fallen race. But if any who have become new creatures in Christ love the unclean things, sympathize with them, desire them, or jest about them, they are far from the condition which is becoming to saints. Such a mental attitude on their part would imply that they had either never been begotten of the Spirit of holiness, or else they were returning again like a sow that was washed to wallow in the mire. These things are characteristic of the children of disobedience, but not characteristic of the children of obedience. The apostle says elsewhere, such were ye, but now ye are washed, but ye are justified, but ye are sanctified through the Lord Jesus Christ. In our lesson he exhorts, be ye not therefore partakers with them, with the children of disobedience, for ye were once in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. What a contrast. Unquote. We all need to examine ourselves. I'd like to read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. Know ye not that the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, But ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yes, self-control is so very important. To aid in a walk as children of light, there are various things that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 5. We'd like to consider these each briefly. One is in verse 16, redeeming the time. I'd like to quote this. This signifies buying back the time, as though the time were already mortgaged. And this is so. The cares of this life, its necessities, the customs of the world, our fallen tendencies, all would absorb every hour of life in the things pertaining to this life. Whereas as new creatures, our new hopes and aims and efforts are properly centered upon things above, the heavenly, the King's matters. Where may we obtain the necessary time wherewith to study and to refresh ourselves in rehearsing the blessings, the promises and favors which are ours as new creatures? And where may we obtain the time for telling these good tidings to others? If we allow the spirit of the world to direct us, we shall have no time for any of these things and shall fail. But as wise and not as foolish children of the Lord, we will see and appreciate the greater importance of the heavenly things and be ready to sacrifice our earthly interests and customs and ambitions in favor of the heavenly. Thus we may redeem or buy back the time that we had previously spent for worldly things, that we may henceforth spend such time in the interest of ourselves and others of the new creation, and in service of our Lord and Master, to whom we have consecrated our all, which we find to be so little, over and above the things necessary to provide honestly for the life that now is. It's not much, but we got to do it. Another part that's found in Ephesians chapter 5 is in verse 11. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We pretty well covered this already. But we are always to remember that we are children of light. We are not to condone the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Sometimes we reprove directly, and other times indirectly, as others already know that we do not approve. And we just uphold a proper example. I'd like to read some more from this reprint. The things that are done in secret, from verse 12. The apostle's intimation is that the whole world lieth in darkness, and in the wicked one, and in sin, and that the Lord's people of the new creation have accepted his leadership in the opposite direction. And they are children of light, and should walk according to the light, and that they should lift up the light of the truth, that they should allow the Holy Spirit to shine forth for the reproving of the world, for the reproving of the darkness, and for the setting up a standard of righteousness in harmony with the Lord's example. Wherefore, be not fools, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This comes from verse 17. How many of the Lord's people are fools? How many allow the spirit of the world so to enter in as to hinder them from appreciating the real wisdom and the proper course, the proper walk in life? It is time for us to cease this foolishness of trying to do everything just as the world does it, and to be everything that the world will approve. It is time for us to determine by the grace of God we will be popular with our Father in heaven and unpopular with the world. It will be sweeter far eventually to hear his voice saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. enter thou into the joy of the Lord, than to have the well done of the world, or its applause, and to come short of the glorious blessing to which we have been called. Go fairly quickly here over them. 19 and 20, it has some advice. Instead, praise and thanksgiving. Instead of what the world has, its ambitions, its craze for money, its outward adornment, we are to make our chiefest blessing, our chiefest joy, to be giving thanks for the Lord for His goodness. We are to maintain that fellowship of heart with Him. We are to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Thus, we make melody to the Lord in our hearts. We are exhorted to submit ourselves one to another in the reverence of the Lord, not to be dictatorial, not to be too self-assertive, not to be anxious that our will should be done on earth or in heaven, but rather desirous that the will of the Lord should thus be done, and that we may be looking to note His leadings and providences in and through others, as well as ourselves, and especially to note the instructions of His Word. This is powerful advice from us, from the pen of the seventh messenger. The new creature is to keep the old creature, the body, under, to keep it dead, buried. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, describes the race. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run, not so uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'd like to now read some quotes about the children of light. The new creation are also instructed to walk as children of light. Their course in life is to always be to be with respect to things that are just, pure, loving, noble, kind. The things that are in harmony with the divine character and word. The things that prove to be the greatest blessing to neighbors and friends. As children of light, every day and every year will see progress. Their light will be shining more and more clearly and accomplishing the greatest good. They will not be ashamed of it, but will set it on a candlestick where it may give light to all in the house, to every member of the household of faith. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Walk as children of light. How should the children of light be walking? The fruit of the Spirit, wherever is found, is goodness and righteousness and truth. Therefore, the Holy Spirit never prompts to badness, unrighteousness, unfaithfulness. And whoever has received the Holy Spirit, whoever has been begotten of the Lord as His child, will want to prove, to demonstrate, to ascertain thoroughly what is acceptable unto the Lord. What the Lord will be pleased with, not merely what would not merit severe punishment from the Lord, not merely what the Lord would wink at and not take serious offense from, but far from this, far beyond all this. Whoever properly has the Spirit of the Son must desire to know the Father's will and delight to do it. And that will is in all purity, goodness, righteousness, truth, and honesty. The influence of this determination of the new creature is to please God, to do His will. It will signify that His life, that His heart, and so far as possible every act and word of His will be in accord with goodness, in accord with the principles of righteousness which God represents, in accord with truth. By walking the seven walks of Ephesians, we can be children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'd like to read again from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. To reiterate, we are to walk not according to the course of this world. Walk in good works. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. Walk not as the Gentiles. Walk in love. Walk circumspectly. Walk as children of light. There's plenty to work on in the year to come. May the Lord bless us as we strive to walk in the footsteps of our Master. Battle on, dear friends. May the Lord add his blessing and forgive anything said amiss.